The Federal Reserve looks to China and to inflation here at home before making a big decision on interest rates. From Marketplace, I'm Noelle King in for David Brancaccio. Central bankers wrapped up an annual symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming this past weekend. At the top of the agenda was inflation and what to do or not to do about it come September. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has been following this. Sabri, what came out of that meeting?
Well, as you know, for a while there, economists and central bankers, you know, the world over, were expecting the Fed to raise rates in September, and we're getting a little insight into what Fed policymakers are thinking. So Vice Chair Stanley Fischer on Saturday said that, yes, inflation is really low right now, but the things keeping it low are fading. Oil prices aren't going to fall much further. The unemployment rate will be improving. On the other hand, this was a terrible week for markets, which has made some Fed governors a little nervous about doing something in September. And, you know, when the Fed pulls a lever to control inflation, it takes a while to kick in. So Fischer said, we can't wait until inflation reaches the target of 2% to start raising rates. We have to anticipate that rise. So the next jobs report is going to be pretty important in helping the Fed figure out what to do.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishore. Among the many investment options we have these days are something called exchange-traded funds, or ETFs. These are pools of various investments, including stocks, and they're exploding in popularity. But with all that new money comes some concern. This came to a head during last Monday's market turmoil when pricing went haywire for some ETFs. Marketplace's Mark Garrison has the story.
ETFs are soaring because they're tax-efficient and, unlike mutual funds, can be traded throughout the day. U.S. ETFs have $2.1 trillion in assets, on track to hit $5 trillion in 2020. As rivers of money flood in, regulators and market pros worry about how much the pipes can handle. Sadiq Meziani is an ETF consultant.
ETFs are growing really, really fast, and perhaps the technological infrastructure is not growing as fast.
The ETF industry stands behind its products and sees last week's issues as more of a larger market problem. Like any investment choice, ETFs have pros and cons, risks and rewards. Flexible trading cuts both ways. It's easier to make a smart trade, but also a stupid one. Deborah Furr is managing partner of industry tracker ETFGI.
Innovation is good, but it is important that you understand the nuances of a product before you go and buy it.
Even when something's trendy, you still have to do your homework. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Let's take a look at some numbers. U.S. stock futures are mixed this morning. The Nikkei closed down about 1.3% today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up just over a quarter of a percent. And the Shanghai Composite Index fell 0.8% today. It was down 12.5%. That's the Shanghai Index for the month. There was a time, not that long ago, when movie trailers were the ads that you had to sit through before you got to see the film you paid for. But that has changed. These days, we seek trailers out, and maybe we even enjoy them a little. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports on the growing market for movie trailers.
The official theatrical trailer for the new Star Wars movie isn't out yet. But already the official teaser trailers have been viewed more than 75 million times and have grabbed enough headlines to keep an army of stormtroopers distracted for hours.
The Force is strong in my family.
So is the force of Disney's marketing department, which has eventized each dribble of new footage from the upcoming film. And what's that word, eventize, you ask?
It's creating a frenzy. It's creating a deep anticipation.
That's publicity strategist Aileen Miles.
Trailers have become pretty much the main event, or I should say the undercard, I guess, to the main event.
According to Google, YouTube users watch 35 million hours of movie trailers on their phones in just the first half of the year. Trailers are enough of a draw, they sometimes run with ads in front of them, often for another movie.
Starts everywhere October 2nd.
It's basically a trailer for a trailer, and the trailer genre has expanded dramatically.
Instead of just one theatrical trailer, you're getting the green band, which is for everyone. You're getting the red band, which is R-rated.
Frederick Green studies movie trailers and marketing.
You have teasers, you have featurettes, you have a whole ecology of movie marketing materials.
Jurassic World, for example, had multiple full-length trailers, at least 24 different TV spots. Green says back in the 80s, there were 4 major trailer houses. Today, there are closer to 100.
You would think through the amount of trailers that are created, the quality would go down, but they're actually getting better.
That's Chris Walter. He's the head of a company called A Big Trailer. He's worked on trailers for The Hurt Locker, Neighbors, Despicable Me 2. He says as trailers have become their own events, they're getting the sort of scrutiny that used to be reserved for the movies themselves, and big budgets too. In some cases, $1 million at a single trailer house for a single film.
Studios will triple vend, quadruple vend, meaning they will send a film to 4 or 5 different trailer houses, and they will have a bake-off to see who does the best one.
But for all the new obsession, the goal of a trailer is still the same: to get people in to see the movie. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Last up, the European Union said today that ministers from all 28 member states will meet for emergency talks in 2 weeks. This is an attempt to deal with Europe's growing migration crisis. France, Germany, and the UK today called for better processing of migrants in Greece and Italy, the main landing points for most of them. We're coming to you from studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today. I'm Noelle King with the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.